In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit, sanctify your hair, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, seat of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we will continue with our reading the letters. Linda, you can read for us.
Letter number 93 to Mrs. Farrelly. Fiat in voluntate Dei. Most esteemed one in the Lord, I was very pleased in hearing your news, although painful. They are a good sign that the Lord loves us and that he wants to make of us his faithful images. Jesus needs to repeat his life upon earth, and he can do so in one who submits himself to anything and who does his adorable will. In fact, by doing his will in all our acts, both spiritual and natural, his image is formed and circulates like a coin throughout the heavens. However, this is what I recommend to you. Never lose heart. Never be disturbed. Try to live abandoned in the arms of Jesus, and he will be your mama, your father, and your custodian. You will feel him living and palpitating within your soul, forming the life of your life. Let us thank the Lord for all he has disposed upon us, but I beg you never to go out of his will. In this way, the Lord will give you his own love to love him, his own sanctity to make yourself a saint, his own peace in the storms of life. Together with him, you will feel strong, of a divine strength in the pains you suffer. In this way, you will fear nothing. Pray for me as I do it for you from the heart, with my regards, and leaving you in the arms of the divine fiat, I say, yours, Louisa Picaretta. Amen, fiat.
Hey, thank you. Let's go through this letter. You know, one important thing that Luisa Picaretta mentions here is that Jesus needs to repeat his life upon earth, and he can do so in one who submits himself to anything and who does his adorable will. You go through the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 521, this is exactly what the Catechism says, that everything that Jesus lived, he's able to repeat it in us, and we are able to live in him. Of course, we know that our Lord Jesus became flesh, and he became one with us. He took our human nature, and he became like us in everything but sin. So right there we have the doctrine for us also, that as long as we are in the state of grace, he's able to repeat everything in us, and it can be both physical and spiritual. Especially today that we celebrate the Divine Mercy Sunday, this is a great opportunity for all of us to take advantage of that grace, that mercy that the Lord pours upon the church. giving us the chance to basically begin anew. You know, that revelation belongs to the same category of the revelation that we are studying, private revelation. And what our Lord Jesus tells to Sister Faustina is that no sin is greater than His mercy, as long as the sinner is truly repented, then everything he's able to forgive, because no sin is greater than His mercy. Now, it happens only once a year during this time, the second Sunday of Easter, that this opportunity is given to all of us. And the Lord already opened the door for all of us to attain that reconciliation. He already redeemed us. He already has opened for us that door. But as we know, that is not also an imposition. We have free will, and because we have free will, we have the chance to reject it or to take advantage of that. But in order for us to to enter into this way of living, we have to have basically the proper garment, which is our baptismal garment, unstained, totally clean. And why this is a way also to enter. We know how to enter into the divine will. We have to have the knowledge of this divine science. So all of us, I assume, we have been studying this for quite some time. So all of us, we have the knowledge of this gift. Now, those dispositions that are required for our soul, for the divine will to operate in our soul, those are things that each one of us has to create, has to dispose himself, herself, to receive this gift, to be able to have the will of God operating in us. So this is what Luisa Picarreta says: Jesus needs to repeat his life upon us, upon earth. And because our Lord Jesus already has a glorified body, he possesses a glorified body. He doesn't possess a humanity like he possessed before the resurrection. He now possesses the body that we see, that the gospel tells us how he appeared to the disciples. He went through doors. This is a glorified body now. But he needs a humanity. He needs a humanity where to repeat his life, and that's us. So to enter into the divine will, right? We know how to enter. We have studied this again for quite some time. And once we enter into that, both acts, physical and spiritual. Physical, the ordinary things in life that we do, all the natural things that we do, the spiritual things we do, all of those, Luisa Picarreta says, form and circulate like a coin throughout the heavens, right? There is a passage in the gospel that when the Pharisees, they put our Lord Jesus to the test, and they question him, do we have to pay taxes or not? And the Lord says, show me the coin. Where, tell me whose image is in the coin. And appears the image of the Caesar there. And so he says, give to Caesar what is to Caesar, and to God what is to God. So we have to look at our soul. What image do we see by baptism there? Right there in the book of Genesis, God says, let us make men in our image and likeness. So we know that everybody bears the image of the Blessed Trinity. It is imprinted in the soul. One soul, three powers: will, intellect, and memory. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The will representing God the Father, the intellect representing our Lord, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and the memory representing the Holy Spirit. So this, in baptism, this image, it becomes really and truly clear, right? So that's the indelible mark that we receive in baptism. So look at your soul. Whose image do you see in your soul? So that will tells us we have to give ourselves to that image that we have in ourselves. Look at the image. The Lord says, whose image do you see? Caesar's. So give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So give to God your soul that belongs to him. And this again in baptism becomes even more real because it is without stain, totally clear the image. That's what we call basically the indelible mark that is imprinted in us totally in baptism. So St. Augustine will say that we belong to the divine treasury, right? We are coins of the divine treasury. Yeah, all our souls, they belong to the divine treasury. And this is what our Lord Jesus desires for all of us by bestowing this gift upon us. Again, what Luisa Picaretta exactly is pointing out, he needs to repeat his life in each one of us, and he will take all our acts, physical and spiritual, natural. Why? Because we bear his image, the image of the Blessed Trinity in our souls. And he wants to palpitate in our souls. He wants to form his very life in us. And once this happens in the soul, then everything is to glorify God. One of the things that we have to understand is that also that once we really start living in this way. Somebody's just walking around. It's very distractive in the video when somebody's just walking around. When I lost my train of thought. Thomas Aquinas mentions something that he talks about perfection of things in two ways. So I wanted us to understand the gift of the divine will in this way, by Thomas Aquinas' way. He talks about perfection of things in two ways. He says things are perfected, first of all, by the very existence, they are good, right? And then by attaining the purpose for those for which they were created. So the fact that the thing exists is a good in itself, but then when the thing that is created achieves the purpose for which it is created, then that purpose becomes greater than the first one. So, again, let me put an example using the Catechism of 358. The Catechism in the Catholic of the Catholic Church 358 says that God created all things for men. So the purpose of creation is, creation in itself is good. But when we use creation in the way God intended, then it becomes a greater good. Because then creation has achieved its purpose to serve us, right? And then it says, but man was created for God. So the fact that we exist is good, but it will be greater once we achieve the purpose for which we were created. And what is the purpose for us to be created? We were created for God to love Him, to serve Him, and to return everything back to Him. And that includes our very soul, our very existence. So, unless we achieve the purpose for which we were created, then we will not, basically, we will remain incomplete. Let me give you another example. The Lord in the Book of Heaven, he calls this book the call to the creature, to the order, to the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God. So the fact that we were created is good. We see that in the book of Genesis, God creates, and he says that he the book of Genesis says that he saw that it was good. But once everything in creation and even as we achieve the purpose for which we were created, then the first becomes, no, excuse me, the second becomes even greater than the first one. So what is the purpose of our creation? We were created for God. We were created to love, to serve Him, and to offer everything back to Him. So unless we love Him, we serve Him, and we offer everything back to Him, and everything includes even our soul, ourselves, then we could not say that we have achieved our purpose. That's why Saint Augustine, now in this context, now we can understand Saint Augustine that he says, "My heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." Because as long as we remain wandering and as long as we don't achieve the purpose of our creation, there will be always this void in our souls. And what Luisa Picaretta says here, that I find very interesting, he says, however, this is that what I recommend to you, never lose heart, never be disturbed, to try to live abandoned in the arms of Jesus, and he will be your mama, your father, and your custodian. You will feel him living and palpitating within your soul, forming the life of your life, meaning that you will not experience that void anymore. So this gift really completes us. That's why we say, or that's why our Lord Jesus will say in the Book of Heaven, that this is the greatest sanctity. And this gift is greater than anything else. Why? Because this gift really helps us achieve the purpose for which we were created. And according to Aquinas, then the second good, he talks about good in things, is the second good is greater than the first one. The second perfection in things is greater than the first one. I hope this makes sense. Then we can see that what the church teaches us here, that we have to love God, or that we were created. The purpose for our creation was so that we may love God, serve God, and give ourselves back to Him. And Adam was doing all of that. He loved God. Remember, the first word that he spoke was, "I love you, my God and my Father, the author of my life." Why? Because probably the first word that God said to him was, after he formed that out of the clay, he just had to say, "I love you, I love you." And as he said that, you know, the breath, his divine breath, went into his nostrils and gave him life. So it was love giving birth to love, basically, or love begetting love, giving love as a way of life. infusing that love in his nostrils, and it was love that made him wake up into life. But he was giving himself to God in everything. That was the thing that he was doing. All that he was doing. So how do we give ourselves then to God? This is the way to give ourselves to God, because then we give our will, and in giving our will, then we give all our acts. It's right there. Once you give your will, it contains all your acts, because the will produces acts. If you say, I give you this act, that doesn't mean you are giving the whole will. But if you say, I give you my will, you are giving everything that the will produces, all the acts. So you are giving yourself to the Lord, so you are fulfilling that teaching that the catechism of the church is asking us to do. And then in doing that, in living in this way, you are complete, because you fulfill the purpose of your very existence. Very simple, I think. So let's continue with the next letter.
Letter number 94 to Mrs. Severani from Faenza, Fiat in Voluntate Dei. My good daughter in the divine volition, thank you for your wishes and for the so many memories you keep of me. My daughter, you have to bear with me and forgive me, for I cannot write you at length or answer to all of your beautiful questions. But I entrust all of you to the Lord, that he himself may speak to you and do whatever pleases him the most. What I care about is that we live of divine will, because these are all the sighs, the yearnings of Jesus, and maybe even his tears, as he does not see in us the purpose for which he created us, his divine likeness. He sees us outside of his dwelling, like blind and lame children who do not look like their celestial father. What sorrow for our dear Jesus to have children who do not live with him and therefore do not love with his love and are not saints of his own sanctity. Order and peace are far away from them because, not living of divine will, they have neither capacity, nor strength, nor space to be able to embrace and to become images of our Creator. Therefore, I recommend to you never go out of the divine will. Keep it as your life, nourishment, royal garment, dwelling, and it will take on the commitment of everything. It will compensate for you in everything and will let nothing back to those who live in his will, nothing lack to those who live in his will. I cannot give you any good news about our things which regard the divine will, but the Lord will make his way. Since it is a divine decree that the divine will form its kingdom upon earth. If you don't mind, I would love to get about 10 copies of the consecration reprinted. Let us pray and let us offer our little pains to obtain the triumph of the divine will on earth. We will be the first fortunate ones. We will have divine love and sanctity and Jesus himself in our power, and so we will follow our way together with him. I leave you in the divine volition. Pray for me very much, for I so much need it. I renew my wishes, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, January 10th, 1941. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. See, Luisa Picaretta here, she mentions again the purpose, that purpose for which we were created. She says here, but I entrust all of you to the Lord that he himself may speak to you and do whatever pleases him the most. What I care about is that we live our divine will. Because these are all the sights, the journeys of Jesus, and maybe even his tears, as he does not see in us the purpose for which he created us. I think this is very important to really meditate and to understand that this gift really completes us. You know, the gospel that comes to mind as I was reading this, is the gospel where our Lord Jesus says, "What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul?" So he compares the whole richness of the world, imagine the world in all the vastness and everything, with the soul, and the soul renders even more precious than all of that, because all of that is material. Is temporal, you know, but the soul is eternal. The soul is eternal. It will never die. It will go to different places, but for all eternity. So we can say, what good is it to gain the whole world? What good is it to gain fame and all of this, but what good is it to gain the whole world and to gain everything else and not fulfilling your purpose, the purpose for which you were created? Then, if we don't fulfill our purpose, no, it doesn't matter if we are successful, if we are so rich, it doesn't matter. I will say it doesn't even matter how pious we may be. We have wasted, in a way, our time here. If we come at the end of our life and we have not fulfilled the purpose for which we were created, that's why this gift is so great, because it really completes us. And then it also shows us how to begin functioning. In previous classes, we have been meditating upon that passage of October 8, 1931, in Volume 29, in which our Lord says to Luisa Picaretta, you have to call, you have to remember, and then you have to offer. And remember, that offering part in the Catechism in 358 is often forgotten. I will say, it's been forgotten. Most of the people that you ask them, they do not know that part. They will not, yes, we were created to love God, to serve God, and to, they even will say, and to enjoy eternity with Him. But they leave out that part that isn't there in the catechism, that we have to offer ourselves. And then this is what we need to reconsider and to take into consideration, because even then, if we look at this in the church now, when we go to Mass, this is what we do. We offer ourselves. Now, we remember the sacrifice of our Lord, because it's a remembrance right there and it's happening. The priest is celebrating. So we are remembering, we are calling into mind what our Lord Jesus did for us. And now we are not only offering, the priest is not only offering that sacrifice on our behalf, but now we are also offering ourselves to God the Father in union with our Lord Jesus. So then each one of us becomes an oblation, a living oblation to God. And whatever is in your heart and your soul, that becomes your prayer. So you yourself become a living prayer, a living offering to the Father in union with Jesus. You are doing exactly what the Lord Jesus is doing, offering himself to the Father, and you are doing it Now, in union with Jesus, you complete your purpose, the purpose for which you were created, to give yourself completely to God. That's why this gift is so great. And if we understand this in this context, then it will make sense in the whole. It will make sense in the whole teaching of the church, because it's in complete harmony with what the church is telling us. You know, the other thing that Luisa Picaretta mentions here is this royal garment. He says, "I recommend to you never go out of the divine will. Keep it as your life, nourishment, royal garment, dwelling, and it will take on the commitment of everything. It will compensate for you in everything, and will let nothing lack to those who live in His will." This is very important. That royal garment to keep this is exactly what Adam possessed. Because remember, Adam didn't have to be baptized. He was created in the state of grace. And what was the state of grace? This royal garment, this light that emanated within him and just covered him. You see, the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus. That's a glimpse of what Adam possessed. You see, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. That's a glimpse of what Adam possessed. Adam in the state of grace before the fall. So, the divine will, we can say, is the original garment. Right now, we talk about the garment of our baptism. Why? Because this gift of the divine will is given to us, is returned to us in baptism. We are covered with that garment of light, and that garment of light is the divine will. Now, what happens with this garment as we grow? We have to keep it unstained, ready for the royal wedding, ready for the wedding feast. So here there is another gospel that help us to understand the whole gift in this context. There is a gospel that tells us that the father prepared a feast, a wedding feast for his son. He invited many, and all of them, they have different excuses not to come. Some make different excuses. One said, "I have bought a new field. I have to go and tend it. I have to do this. I have to do that." Finally, they informed the father, and he said, "Go and call everybody in the highways. Bring them here. Give them the proper garment." And then at the end, it says that when the feast began, there was one who didn't have the proper garment. And then he says, "Friend, how did you get here?" Then the gospel says he ordered the servants to remove him. Why? Because he didn't possess the proper garment. So now, what is the garment that we need to enter into eternal life? Is the garment of our baptism, and stain is the garment of the divine will. And today, that is Divine Mercy Sunday, this garment becomes totally clean and stained if you went to confession, you say, I mean, you recite the Divine Mercy Chaplet, you receive Holy Communion, you have contrition for your sins. The Lord gives that grace to us. So for us, for those who know the divine will, this is a great opportunity to begin anew and to grow spiritually. And now that we understand what's the purpose of our creation, Basically, the purpose of our creation is to possess this gift, because it is through this gift that we are able to return, to give back to Him in a complete, total way to God and His Son, level, in a holy way, in a divine manner, we could say. So, as you can see, in a way, these teachings of Luisa Picaretta, we are building on what we have been reading before. And a little by little, I hope everything is making sense in harmony with the church. And hopefully also now that you understand a little bit more of this, and through these explanations of Luisa Picaretta and my poor explanations too, so that we can experience the sacraments in a new way. So again, if it doesn't matter how successful the people may be or how saintly they may be, but they don't achieve the purpose for which they were created, then at the end of their life, they will remain incomplete. And it's not me saying it, it's right there. What is the purpose of our creation? To love God, to serve God, and to return everything back to Him, to offer everything back to Him. So that's the lesson that we have. Perhaps we have a time for another letter today.
Letter number 95 to a priest in Voluntate Dei, Fiat. Most Reverend Father, I come to give you my wishes for your name day, and since I am able to say nothing, I send you Jesus, that he himself may give you his wishes. And do you know what Jesus says to you? My child, I wish you true sanctity, and to do so, I give you my love as food, my will as life, all my works, pains, and virtues as dowry. Listen, Jesus says, my wishes are not finite and a simple compliment like those of the creatures. Ah, no. My wishes are immense, they are springs. And only then am I content when I give all of myself. So from now on, you will carry me and I you, and we will live together. Holy Father, here are the wishes of Jesus and also mine. I believe you will like them. I leave you in the divine volition. Pray for me as I do it for you from the heart. I kiss your right hand. And on my knees, I implore your paternal blessing. Yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. It's a beautiful letter. This is written to a priest, but we can see the teaching here for all of us, for everybody. He says, "My child, I wish you true sanctity." So this is what the Lord wishes, not only for the priest, but for everybody. Because what is the true sanctity? This is the true sanctity, the first sanctity. So Luisa Picaretta is talking on behalf of our Lord, and she tells us that this is what our Lord will say, that our Lord Jesus will wish true sanctity for us, and he wishes to give us his own love as food, his own will as life. And his works and pains and virtues, basically as an inheritance. Then he says, listen, Jesus says, my wishes are not finite and simple complement. like those of creatures. So he's not saying this so that we may feel good about ourselves, so that we may be encouraged only, no, so that we truly believe in him and really be convinced that this is what he wants to give us, you know? He's through himself. So everything that our Lord Jesus says, we don't have to doubt because he doesn't lie. So my wishes are not finite and simple complement like those of the creatures. Oh no, my wishes are immense. They are springs that constantly flowing, constantly giving life, growing and increasing, expanding. And only then am I content. When is he content only? When he's able to give all of himself to us. And he will be content once he sees us also that we are able to give all ourselves to him. And basically, the way we give ourselves to him again is by giving that freedom, that will that he gave us, because in that will, all the acts are contained. All that we can do are contained. Just think about that for a moment. That by giving your will, you are giving basically everything that you are. Or it's the same as you say, I give you my soul. Because in giving your soul, you are giving the three powers of the soul. When you are saying, I give you my soul, it implies that the soul with the three powers. You are not saying only, I give you my memory, or I give you only my intellect, but I give you my soul and everything that the soul is. So basically, I give you all my acts, both physical and spiritual. And only then he will be content when he sees that we are able to give back ourselves, to offer ourselves back to him completely. In the previous classes, I have mentioned that, you know, this is very important to keep always in mind. Why do I give myself to the Lord? For the kingdom of the divine will to descend upon earth. And why do I want to give myself also to the Lord? Or what is the consequence or the effect of giving myself back to the Lord? Because in doing that, I complete my purpose for which I was created. I often give you this example. You know, that I like to, in my free time, I enjoy going to Home Depot or Lowe's just to look at the different tools. And you find all these little tools that are so different and amazing because you find out that with these little tools, you can do so much and the job becomes so easy. But you know, the fact that that tool exists, we can say it in the context of what Thomas Aquinas is teaching us, the perfection of things. The fact that that particular tool exists is good. But when that particular tool is used, then it achieves it's the purpose for which this tool was created, then it is a greater perfection than the first one. This is what happens with the divine will in us. The fact that we have been created is good, but when we achieve the purpose for our creation, then it becomes greater. It is greater than being created. What good is it to create a tool that is never going to be used. If it's not going to achieve its purpose, right? So, right from the very beginning, God created Adam ready to achieve his purpose. And he was achieving his purpose, but he chose to depart. Now, he's giving us back this gift through the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. He's giving us all the tools that we need, how to enter into the divine will, how to remain. He gives the sacraments to go back. Then he tells us, from now on, everything that you do should be for the gift of the divine will to descend upon earth. And the effect will be that you will achieve the purpose for which you were created. And in that, God will be glorified, is being glorified at every moment. So receiving the gift of the divine will is greater than us being created. That may be a little bit difficult to understand. It might be a little bit pushing the envelope, but try to understand it in this way. Receiving the gift of the divine will in a way is greater than being created. Because what good is it for us just being created without achieving our purpose? So we have seen this, all these things that they should help us to understand the gift as a whole. Understanding that everything that we do has to be for the gift of the divine will to reign on earth, whether it's joy, suffering, everything. And also that the consequence of this, or the effect of this in our souls, is that, yes, we achieve that purpose for which we were created. And then God is being glorified, our soul is being expanded. So in this context, I hope we are growing and we can grow in the knowledge and understanding of the gift every time. So with that being said, we will leave it here for this time. And let us ask our Lord Jesus that through the grace of his Holy Spirit, we may continue to grow in the knowledge and understanding of the divine will, and that through the maternal hands of the Blessed Mother, we may experience that consolation. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, see the wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.